brought to you by Penguin.
Nemesis by Philip Roth. Read by Dennis Boutsakaris.
Chapter 1. Equatorial Newark. The first case of polio that summer came early in June, right after Memorial Day, in a poor Italian neighborhood across town from where we lived. Over in the city's southwestern corner, in the Jewish Weekwake section, we heard nothing about it, nor did we hear anything about the next dozen cases scattered singly throughout Newark in nearly every neighborhood but ours. Only by the 4th of July, when there were already 40 cases reported in the city, did an article appear on the front page of the evening paper titled, "Health Chief Puts Parents on Polio Alert," in which Dr. William Cattell, superintendent of the Board of Health, was quoted as cautioning parents to monitor their children closely and to contact a physician if a child exhibited symptoms such as headache, sore throat, nausea, stiff neck, joint pain, or fever. Though Dr. Cattell acknowledged that 40 polio cases was more than twice as many as normally reported this early in the polio season, he wanted it clearly understood that the city of 429,000 was by no means suffering from what could be characterized as an epidemic of poliomyelitis. This summer, as every summer, there was reason for concern and for the proper hygienic precautions to be taken, but there was as yet no cause for the sort of alarm that had been displayed by parents, justifiably enough, 28 years earlier, during the largest outbreak of the disease ever reported, the 1916 polio epidemic in the northeastern United States, when there had been more than 27,000 cases, with 6,000 deaths. In Newark, there had been 1,360 cases and 363 deaths. Now, even in a year with an average number of cases, when the chances of contracting polio were much reduced from what they'd been back in 1916, a paralytic disease that left a youngster permanently disabled and deformed, or unable to breathe outside a cylindrical metal respirator tank known as an iron lung, or that could lead from paralysis of the respiratory muscles to death, caused the parents in our neighborhood considerable apprehension and marred the peace of mind of children who were free of school for the summer months and able to play outdoors all day and into the long twilight evenings. Concern for the dire consequences of falling seriously ill from polio was compounded by the fact that no medicine existed to treat the disease and no vaccine to produce immunity. Polio, or infantile paralysis, as it was called when the disease was thought to infect mainly toddlers, could befall anyone for no apparent reason. Though children up to 16 were usually the sufferers, adults too could become severely infected, as had the current president of the United States. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, polio's most renowned victim, had contracted the disease as a vigorous man of 39, and subsequently had to be supported when he walked, and even then had to wear heavy steel and leather braces from his hips to his feet to enable him to stand. The charitable institution that FDR founded while he was in the White House, the March of Dimes, raised money for research and for financial assistance to the families of the stricken. Though partial or even full recovery was possible, it was often only after months or years of expensive hospital therapy and rehabilitation. During the annual fund drive, America's Young donated their dimes at school to help in the fight against the disease. They dropped their dimes into collection cans passed around by ushers in movie theaters, and posters announcing, "You can help too," and "Help fight polio," appeared on the walls of stores and offices and in the corridors of schools across the country. Posters of children in wheelchairs, a pretty little girl wearing leg braces shyly sucking her thumb, a clean-cut little boy with leg braces heroically smiling with hope. Posters that made the possibility of getting the disease seem all the more frighteningly real to otherwise healthy children. Summers were steamy in low-lying Newark, and because the city was partially ringed by extensive wetlands, a major source of malaria back when that, too, was an unstoppable disease, there were swarms of mosquitoes to be swatted and slapped away whenever we sat on beach chairs in the alleys and driveways at night, seeking refuge out of doors from our sweltering flats, where there was nothing but a cold shower and ice water to mitigate the hellish heat. This was before the advent of home air conditioning, when a small black electric fan, set on a table to stir up a breeze indoors, offered little relief once the temperature reached the high 90s.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?